Sunday the 18th of December 2022, Candlelight Carol Service. Sermon series, God Loves You. Sermon title, Jesus Brings Life Through Us. Bible reading, Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 38. Talk by Bob Crowther. The first few verses of the Bible reading were missed from the original recording, so I'll read those in for you, and then we'll cut to Pete Wells to complete the Bible reading. Starting at Luke chapter 1, verse 26, the birth of Jesus foretold. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favoured, the Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favour with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus.
He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. And this is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. I hadn't realised how clicky my shoes were until I came here. Well, good evening, everyone. And tonight we're continuing our Christmas sermon series, which is titled, God Loves You.
Every time.
And the subject of tonight's talk is Jesus brings life through us. Jesus brings life through us. I can't help feeling that the passage that Pete just read to us is one of those instances in the Bible that just feels a little bit understated. We hear from Luke a little later on in chapter 2, verse 8, that when the angel appears to the shepherds, they were terrified. Terrified. Those of you who know my wife, Lucinda, will understand me when I say that I sleep with an angel every night. If I woke up to find the angel Gabriel sitting at the end of our bed, well, I'm sure that even feeling terrified might be something of an understatement. Now, obviously, Luke wasn't there at the time that the angel suddenly appears at Mary's home. And perhaps he's intentionally playing down Mary's reaction when Gabriel tells her that God has plans for her. When Luke speaks of Mary's reaction, he says she was greatly troubled. And that's not at the appearance of the angel, that's at what his words might mean. And greatly troubled just feels a bit of an understatement to having the angel Gabriel suddenly appear. It feels that Luke might almost have written, "Oh, she was mildly perturbed or somewhat inconvenienced by the appearance of an angel." But what I think Luke is doing here is deliberately showing us that the teenage Mary is a great deal more astute and mature than perhaps she's sometimes given credit for. This announcement by Gabriel feels to me a bit like when my boss at work used to say to me, "Bob, come into my office. I've got a really good development opportunity for you." Now, I just think that that's going to be bad news wrapped up in something positive. And not only would I be deeply troubled, I'd be deeply sceptical at those words. But there is no such scepticism from Mary, and she very quickly accepts her call to do God's will. So what do we really know about Mary? Well, the answer to that is surprisingly little. And what we do know is really from the Gospels of Luke and Matthew. We know she was betrothed to Joseph. Betrothal is a contract between their parents and would have been from when Mary was around 12 years old. But that midway state between betrothal and marriage would have taken a few years. And that's partially because Joseph's parents would have to raise enough money to compensate Mary's parents for taking away from them someone who would be working around their house. So scholars believe Mary would have been in her early to mid-teens when visited by the angel Gabriel. Now that might seem very young to us today, but not so much 2,000 years ago in Israel. So the announcements to a young girl who's promised in marriage that she's to become pregnant could hardly have been initially considered good news. And yet Mary's response, as reported by Luke, speaks volumes for her frame of mind, especially in terms of her own priorities. "I am the Lord's servant," she says. "May your word be fulfilled." Whatever her own feelings, her priority was to do what God was asking of her. Now, Mary's only mentioned a few more times in the New Testament, and then she's called the mother of Jesus. Different strands of Christianity regard Mary in very different ways. I'm sure you know in the Catholic Church she has the highest level of veneration. But did you know she even has a chapter of her own in the Quran, given what is called the highest position above all women? But the sad fact is that back in Israel 2,000 years ago, no one really cared what the women were getting up to, and so there's very little actual written information or record about Mary. But what we do know, because it's very clear from our reading, is that she was specifically chosen by God to bring the Messiah into the world, to bring him up and care for him as a child until he was ready to start his ministry. Now, she had other children. The Gospels mention James, Joseph, Simon, Jude, no mention, of course, of any sisters, all of whom were conceived with her husband, Joseph. And I always think when we talk of Joseph in this context, a little bit of a tip of the hat to him. This is a man who, despite his fiancée announcing before they were married she was going to have a baby, stuck with her through thick and thin and clearly stayed around to raise a large family with her and to raise someone else's son as his own. Now, this particular passage is important to us as individuals because it's the start of our own genealogy. Matthew and Luke both start their gospel showing the link from David through to Jesus. But it's the Holy Spirit that gives life to Jesus in Mary's womb. And it's that same Holy Spirit that gives life to us when we are born again into a new life with Jesus Christ. Do you remember what Jesus told Nicodemus in John 3:5? "No one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born again of water and the Spirit." And that Holy Spirit is the direct DNA link that we have with God. As Jesus Christ lived in Mary, so he now lives in us. And at Christmas time, which is very conveniently placed in our social calendar at the end of the year, so it is followed a week later by that time of New Year's resolutions and promises to change our lives for the better, it's a great time to reflect on what the birth of Jesus Christ really means to us. Because if it's all about presents, parties and chocolate Santas, then I think we're missing the real point of celebrating Christmas. Now, we've just been told from the census of 2021 that now less than 50% of British people consider themselves to be Christian. I wonder what being a Christian actually means to them, because I'm pretty sure they won't all be in church for the carol service or on Christmas Eve or Christmas morning. And if we were to ask them the question, well, what does Christmas really mean to you? I wonder how many would profess to follow the Christian faith, but give an answer such as, well, it's a chance for the family to be together, or it's always about the children's nativity for me, or turkey, mince pies and Christmas cake. Now, I'm not suggesting any of those are bad things, and I've been known to indulge in a few of them myself, but how many of those 48% of British people who say they are Christians would answer that to them, Christmas really means a celebration of Jesus' birth, his life, and what the impact his life has had on them as individuals. Because this passage that tells us of Mary's reaction to the announcement to her by the angel Gabriel should really be reflected in our own lives. Just as Jesus lived in Mary, Jesus lives in us when we invite him into our lives. Just as Mary obeyed God's command, no matter the personal consequences for her, we should also be prepared to answer God's call, even if it seems at that time somewhat unpalatable to us. Now, that's not always a very easy message to receive, but God has given each of us a purpose to our lives, and it's his desire to work through each of us. Do you remember what God says in Jeremiah 29:11? For I have plans for you, he says. Plans to prosper you and not harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. And he empowers us with the gifts and skills that we each need to serve God in very individual and very different ways. God equips us for that very purpose. But he doesn't want to force us to work with him. He wants us to desire to work with him, to hear his call, as Mary did, and to answer it, to want to bring a piece of heaven to earth. And if God can use a young girl from Nowheresville in Galilee, do you remember what Nathanael asked Philip in John 1:46? Nazareth, he says, can anything good ever come from Nazareth? Then he's just as likely to want to use someone from Chadwell Heath, or Barking, or Redbridge, or Havering, or wherever you may have travelled from today to be here. Being insignificant to others is never a barrier to God for using you for his work. Now, for those of you who were here the other day, Martin spoke about a stained glass window and about how detailed they are. But when you look through them from the outside, they can appear quite dull, and it takes the light to shine through them to bring out the true beauty of the pictures on that glass. We are called to be the light of God, shining outwards and showing his beauty as we serve him by serving others. There are three things that strike me about Mary's reaction to the angel Gabriel's announcement. Firstly, that she is unafraid of God's call. That she is understanding of God's call. And that she is obedient to God's call. Now, this miraculous conception is the start of the four stages of the good news of Jesus Christ. The decision where God comes to earth in human form to live amongst his people and reconcile himself to them. The second stage, of course, is Jesus' ministry, where he taught us. And then the third is his death on the cross and his sacrifice that paid the price for our sins. And then finally his resurrection and his ascension into heaven, leaving his Holy Spirit to live in us as our guide and redeemer. I imagine that when we're feeling called to serve God, our initial reaction will be the same as Mary's. Well, how can this be? I am, insert your excuse here. I don't have the experience. I don't have the qualification. I don't like speaking with people I've not been formally introduced to. God has that in hand. Just as he knew that in his servant Mary he had an obedient girl who would be perfect as the earthly mother of his heavenly son, he chooses us because we are the right people for the role, even if we can't see that ourselves, and even if we are initially reluctant to answer that call. So how does Jesus bring life through us? Well, the good news for each of us is that God can use us as willing volunteers in whatever we are called to do. And it is good news, because if he uses each of us, then each of us are therefore being blessed by God through what others do. We are each blessed so that we might bless others. Now, calling can be very complicated, so just look at it as helping out God with his work on earth. Liken it, if you wish, to being a child helping out your parents at home with some of the chores. Because if we're God's children, surely it's just natural for us to be asked to help around the house. Did your parents ever ask you to fix the plumbing or rewire the house when you were a school kid? I hope not. They probably asked you to take out the bins or to clean your room, help set the table for supper. We only asked our son Joel to do electrical work on our house when he became a qualified electrician. And God won't ask you to do things that he hasn't empowered you to do, but he might arrange some on-the-job training for you. God isn't a heavenly version of Professor Dumbledore or Gandalf. He doesn't just wave a wand and magically make what he desires to happen. He uses his children to make it happen. And that's you and me, God's children since we accepted Jesus into our life. And it's through us that Jesus brings life. Just as Jesus lived in Mary, so he now lives in us through his Holy Spirit. And it's through us that his message of love is brought to life. It is through us that God shines his light. So whilst you're sitting there this Christmas, enjoying time with your family, opening presents, debating whether it's okay to have a fifth mini chocolate Santa, just set aside a few moments to focus on the real miracle of Christmas, which is that God came to earth to live amongst his children. And he died on the cross to pay the price for our sins. And he now lives in each of us through his Holy Spirit. And it's through the power of the Holy Spirit that each of us can undertake God's work amongst his people. It's what we're called to do. And we should be unafraid of that call. We should be understanding of what that call means. And we should be obedient to his call. And in that way, Jesus Christ will bring life through us to the rest of God's children. So how will you use your God-given gifts in 2023 to bring the light and love of Jesus Christ to your neighbours, your friends, your work colleagues, the wider community? Just reflect on that over this Christmas time. I pray that you and your families have a happy Christmas and a safe, healthy and prosperous and Christ-filled 2023. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the greatest Christmas gift of all, the birth of your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for the teachings of Jesus and for his sacrifice which allowed your children to be reconciled with their Heavenly Father. And we thank you for the Holy Spirit, the very part of you that lives in us. And we pray for your guidance as to how you might want to use us in the coming year to shine your light in what can sometimes feel like a very dark world. Help us to hear your call, to understand your call, and to obey your call, so that we might serve you by serving others. And we ask this in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.